Genesis 24 tonight. Let's go there in the Word of God. Look at this great chapter in the Bible. Preached many times from this particular passage in Scripture, and it's a wonderful opportunity to approach it expositionally here, taking our time, verse by verse, as God has given it to us, and asking His direction and guidance from His Word. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning that matter. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather around it tonight. I pray, God, that you will help me as I handle this precious word tonight. I pray, God, that you use me in a special way. I pray, God, that you will hide me behind the cross of Christ. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these, thy people, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're in the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. We're in the life of Abraham, and we have followed him from anonymity. We met him in Scripture when he was a nobody, and now he's a somebody. Sounds like our story, doesn't it? I mean, when God found us, we were nobodies. And now we're somebodies. And the only reason why we are somebodies is because we have God in us. Amen. And we watched God bring Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. And we've watched him raise him up and lead him and covenant with him. And we walk the figure eight and we watch God promise to Abraham, I'll make of thee a great nation. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the nation of the earth be blessed. And we've talked about the way that was going to happen was because through that seed, eventually the Messiah was going to come. And Jesus, amen, is not the Savior for some people. He is the propitiation for our sins and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And through Abraham's seed, the whole world can be blessed. And by the way, the Jesus that lives in us, through him, the whole world can be blessed. And we watched him. And we watched God lead him. And we watched God direct him. And we watched him go through test and trial and tribulation. Some he failed. Some he passed. But the big test that he went through in Genesis chapter number 22, he passed with flying colors. And that was his Isaac. And we've all been posed with the question, who is our Isaac? And will we lay him down? Well, Abraham did. And by laying him down, God spared Isaac. Amen. There was a ram caught in the thicket. Amen. Thank God that God provides. And at the end of that chapter, right after God renewed his covenant with Abraham, after Abraham proved that he loved God and God stated his approval, and after God reminded him, we're still on track. Remember the promise? Remember the covenant? Remember the prosperity? Guess what? Because you just passed the test, we're still on track. By the way, child of God, don't let your disobedience to God run his promises for you off track. Genesis 22 was Abraham's chance to stay in his lane. And for everything I've promised, don't you give me a reason to change my promise because you've not obeyed my word. And by the way, every single one of us are at a juncture in our Christian life right here and right now. Listen to me, you can't fix your Christianity from yesterday and you can't live your Christianity tomorrow. But in this moment, in this hour, by the way, this is your hour. This is your time. I was thinking this week as I preach around different places and we always bring up the men of yesteryear and their great accomplishments and what they've done. And thank God for the men on whose shoulders we stand today who have laid the foundation, who have paved the road, who have cut down the trees. Thank God. We ought to appreciate those who've died and given their blood, sweat, and tears that we could be here tonight. Thank God that we're Americans. Amen. As we think about yesterday and September 11th and all those that gave their lives and that give their lives that we might be free. Don't you ever forget who's given their life that you might be free. But can I tell you, they've done it, they've lived, and they've gone on. But this is our time. This is our hour. And let's not live just rejoicing on what they did. Let's do something for God. And so this was his time, and he passed. And God renewed that covenant, reminded him that we're right on schedule. I'm going to bless you, just like I said. And if you had messed up right there, you'd have missed out. And I won't tell you, Christian, don't let the devil tell you that messing up on God, you're going to get in on something from him. Messing up on God always causes you to miss out. And then right after God renews the covenant in Genesis chapter number 22, Abraham hears of God blessing his family and not him. Immediately after God renews his covenant, he gets word from back home. His brother's family is growing while he still just has Isaac. And once again, even though the test seemed to have ended, it really was still in session because God was saying, you thought the tough part was laying Isaac down, but we're still in testing mode because we're going to find out whether you really love me, not just on whether you can give me what matters to you, but whether you can love me when somebody else gets blessed. And while God was blessing and expanding Abraham's brother's family, in the middle of all those names, the name Rebekah comes out. And it was God's way of saying, even when I'm blessing somebody else, I'm still thinking about you. And there was Rebekah coming on the scene in Genesis 22 at the very end. She is in Abraham's family. And in Genesis 24, we're going to find out just why she was. In Genesis 23, he lost Sarah. And that was a big deal. And we spent a couple weeks on dealing with death in the family, knowing that we can't avoid it. And we watched Abraham not only lose somebody special, but we watched Abraham make arrangements for her burial. And it took the grace of God to do it. We watched him do two things in response to death, mourn and weep, both of which God expects us to do. But we watched him after he mourned and after he wept stand up. Amen. He didn't stand there forever mourning and weeping. He realized that Sarah was dead, but he was still alive. And as long as he was living, God still had a job for him. And listen to me, we're all going to have to deal with somebody that dies in our family. But when they die, make sure your faith doesn't die with them. Move on for God until your time. And we watched him as he lives his responsibility. Genesis 24, here we are. I've entitled this chapter, Search for the Bride. Search for the Bride. We got to find Isaac a wife. And it's a big deal. Now listen, we've gotten Rebekah's name from the end of Genesis 22. But Abraham doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know he's the wife for Isaac. He just knows Isaac is a man. And a man needs to marry a woman. He knows that much. And that's something to start with. Start there and move forward. Say amen like you understand it. Don't just amen for me, amen for the live stream. Somebody that is not as clear on that might listen to it, and they need to know I'm not the only one that believes a man should marry a woman. Amen. Thank you. So it's a search for the bride. This whole chapter is depicting the location, the securing, and the bringing back to Isaac the wife. Come on. Not a wife, the wife. Amen. Listen to me, all you single adults. We're not just interested in you getting married to somebody. We're interested in you getting married to the somebody that God has. We don't just want you fellas to get a woman. My granddaddy used to say, man, you don't just need a woman, you need a wife. Amen. She don't just need a man, she need a husband. Amen. And by the way, God's got somebody for you. And let me just tell you, if you're single and getting a little impatient, let me just speak a little word of comfort and wisdom into your life. Trust me, you would rather go through life wanting something you never had rather than having something you never wanted. And I will tell you, you better wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Can I tell you, your search that seems pointless and finding that right somebody that seems impossible and all those failed attempts that make this current attempt seem futile, that God has a way to have somebody somewhere unbeknownst to you that's in the center of God's will for you. You just line up with the will of God. And don't be diverting in your own little foolishness trying to help God out. He knows what he's doing. So we're going to look for the next couple of weeks at this thought, search for the bride. But I want you to make a subtitle to this, and this is what I've titled this, because not all of us are looking for a bride. I'm not looking for one. I found me one down in Laverne, Alabama, and I just plan to just go and stay married to my first wife. Amen. That's the only one I have for those of you on the live stream. So contextually, we're literally dealing with Abraham and this search for the bride for his son, Isaac. But I want you to write as a subtitle this passage: failure is not an option. And we want to look at this passage of Scripture with the context of Abraham's situation and bring this interpretation in Abraham's life to an application in our lives. We want to put ourselves in his shoes, because for this daddy, getting a wife for his son was not a hobby. It was not a preference. It was not something he was going to try to do if he could do it. It was something at which he could not fail. And you may not be here tonight looking for a spouse. You may not be here tonight looking for a house that you got to find at a certain day. But if you're here tonight living the Christian life, then you've got just as much pressure on your shoulders as Abraham had and as the servant had. Listen, I don't care how many deadbeat dropouts and failure Christians that we meet in this world today, I still believe that when it comes to serving God, failure is not an option. And too many people have it in the multiple choice column. So when difficulty comes, they pick it. Failure is not an option. Now look, if you would, at just a couple thoughts tonight. Number one, we want to look at Abraham's particular status. What's going on with him at this time? We've watched him in every passage, and we've kind of identified him in each stage of his life. We saw him when he was Abram in nowhere, and we saw him when he was going into a foreign place and worried about his wife getting taken, right? We saw him when he was playing uncle to rescue his nephew, right? We watched him in different, we saw him when he talked to God as friend with friend and proved that God could trust him with covert information. Amen. How do I know if God and I are close? Can he trust you with secret information? We watched him when he made the wrong decision in famine. We watched him when he found out from God he was going to have a son. We watched him when he went around God with Hagar, right? So what's his status now? Well, write down status number one in Abraham's life. His particular status is what I call living brevity. We mean living brevity. I mean life's about to be short. At this point in Abraham's life, for the first time in Genesis, as we followed his story, he's at the end. He's running short on time. It won't be long before he's dead. It won't be long before where Sarah went, he goes. By the way, by way of application, we may not be Abraham's age, but there's not a person in this building that should not acknowledge living brevity. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Can I remind you, my friend, that you and I are coming to a point in our lives where we will die soon. If we live for a long time, if we live for hundreds, if we live to be 100 or 100 or 2 or 3 like my granddad did, in comparison to eternity, you and I are running short on time. Now look, if you would, not only at living brevity, but look, if you would, at loaded blessings. Loaded blessings. He not only was old and well stricken in age, but he was a blessed man. Well, maybe you're not. I am. I'm blessed. And I know what that means. Because I run a lot of people say it and they don't know what it means. And by the way, we're all blessed. It's just these people that talk about this highly favored stuff. And I am highly favored. And I know what it means. But a lot of people say it with a cigarette in their mouth. Or high, or drunk, or cussing. That ain't highly favored. Yeah, amen. That's lowly flavored, all right? But anyway, I don't know where that came from. But anyway, by the way, blessed and highly favored. That's what was said to Mary, when she was approached by the angel. You know why she was blessed? She was blessed because God chose for her to carry Jesus. You know why she was highly favored? She was favored by God to have Jesus put inside of her, and he wasn't put inside of her to keep inside of her. He was put inside of her to deliver to the world. How can I be blessed and highly favored? Well, you're blessed if you got Jesus inside of you, and you'll be highly favored when you spend your life delivering him to the world. But Abraham was blessed, loaded with blessings. He looked towards the end of his life and thought, my, how blessed I've been. You know what would do us in the midst of our self-proclaimed pity parties? To remind ourselves how blessed we are. Amen. We're blessed to be Americans. Amen. We're blessed to have Bibles. Yes. We're several copies of them. Yes. And a whole bunch of you got them on your phone. Amen. Listen, we're blessed to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're blessed to be saved. We're blessed to have a local New Testament church. We're blessed to have families. We're blessed to have Christian schools. We're blessed to have roofs over. Listen to me. Even in the midst of a storm, thank God there's somewhere you can go. There's safety you can find. There's shelter where you can hide. And by the way, not just in a weather storm, but in a financial storm, an emotional storm, a difficult storm. Thank God that the Lord is our rock and our fortress. We're blessed. But his living brevity and his loaded blessings brought him to what I call a looming burden. What about my son? Now think about this. I'm leaving soon. How many of you know that when time is running short, we tend to hurry? Right? Remember we used to have to use calling cards? And this voice while you were talking said to you, 1 minute left. And all of a sudden, the slow talkers become fast talkers. You understand? Those of you that used to be in, live that different world, when they start flashing them lights where you were hanging out, you hurry up and get out of there. Y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about because your wife will be going like that. Anyway, I'm just saying when time's short, we get in a hurry. Abraham wanted to get in a hurry for two reasons, brevity and blessings. Look at me just a moment. I want you to get this. We need more urgency in our Christian life for those two reasons. Number one, brevity. Number two, blessings. You should be just as much driven by your blessings as you are by your brevity. In other words, we should be more burdened to do things for God based on how blessed we've been. We are too blessed not to be burdened. And if we're not careful, we will relish the blessings and ignore the burden. If you're a parent in the building tonight and you have been blessed with children, the blessing of children should burden you to raise them right. Amen. If you're a spouse tonight and you've been blessed with the union of marriage, listen, sir, the blessing of a wife should burden you to treat her right. Listen, ma'am, the blessing of a godly husband. You realize there are women out here that are married to a man that's not godly? The fact that you can look to your right or your left and be sitting next to the man you married on a Wednesday night in church is a blessing. Amen. But that blessing should burden you to submit to that man and support him as he lives for God and not slow him down. If we're not careful, watch your children. If you're blessed to have Christian parents, it should burden you not to squander your foundation. Amen. Now listen, I'm telling you, this is an old man running out of time, and this is what he's thinking. I gotta get this done before I'm gone. Now, I didn't put this in my notes, but I wonder, doesn't it seem like Jesus is coming soon? I'm just asking you, is there anybody in your life that's lost, that your brevity and your blessings demand from you, I need to lead them to the Lord for I'm gone? I need to be a better soul winner before I'm gone. I need to train my kids right before I'm gone. I need to do something for God before. Listen, I meet too many Christians that are on cruise control. They're just meandering their way through the Christian life, waking up every day spoiled in the goodness of God, entitled about the mercies of God on their padded pews. I preached the last two nights in a church, had no padded pews. I have never felt so glad that our church had padded pews. I got in the car after service and I thought to my kids, to Kevin and Kobe, boy, it feels good to sit in the seat of my car. And you know, you think about it. We sit on padded pews every service. Amen. Well, if you're blessed to sit on padded pews, you ought to be burdened enough to tithe. See, blessings ought to burden you. To whom much is given, much shall be required. That principle didn't show up in Luke 12. It's showing up in Genesis 24. Here's what Abraham's saying. I have too little time, and I've received too many blessings not to get this thing done before I'm gone. So that's the status where we find Abraham. And I'm wondering if there's anybody at that status tonight. Is there a senior in the building? It's my last year of high school. I need to make an impact on my school before I leave this school. Is anybody in the building tonight that's working a contract on your job that's running out? And you worry about finding your next job. You ought to be worried about impacting your current coworker. It's not just about what we're doing next. It's about what we're going to do with where God has put us now. We must use our blessings to burden us. The better God is to us, the better we ought to live for him. What's his particular status? Now, write down number two. With Abraham's particular status, God is going to introduce us to what I call paramount submission. Okay, I got to get it done. I'm old. I'm well stricken in age. God has established a covenant with me. God has told me he's going to bless my seed, multiply me as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, and I believe God. Do you believe God? Okay, now God gave him a miracle son. You think Abraham wasn't remembering all that? Genesis 24, verse 1. This boy was given to me as a result of a miracle of God. You say, well, I'm not Abraham. If you got children, your children were miracles too. Amen. Amen. God did it. God did it. God did it. I'm getting ready to get out of here. Before I get out of here, I got to get this thing right. And God has given me Isaac. And I've got to find, by the way, it wasn't that God couldn't do it without Abraham. It was that Abraham felt obligated to do it for God. I don't want us to think that God needs us. But as blessed as we are, we ought to need to live for God. That's got to drive you. Now, look here at this, what I call paramount submission. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. Now, write down in your notes, servant worthiness. God is working out his plan. Abraham is engaged in seeing it done. But hear me now. In order for an all-powerful God to accomplish his plan, he needs a servant that's worthy. Now, when I mean worthy, none of us are worthy outside of God. But I mean we've demonstrated a worthiness that will qualify us for carrying out God's plan. Listen to me. Listen, do you think that the God of the universe wants everybody in the world saved? Amen. Do you think that the death of Jesus Christ is enough to save the world? Do you think that the blood still works? Do you think that grace has been revealed to all mankind? Do you believe that God's mercy can reach down into the slums and the most wicked, lowliest sinner and say, listen, God saved you, didn't he? Do you believe that God can bring revival to America? Yes, he can. But he needs a servant. And Abraham said, I got to get this thing done. And God has proven. Remember, Genesis is a book of beginnings, and God is establishing precedents, right? Here's another precedent in the Word of God. God accomplishes his plans through the work of servants. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does God have anything for Crossroads Baptist Church to do? Does God have anything for Crossroads Baptist Church to do? Now, do you see stewardship in Genesis 24? I do. I see that this servant was slated to do a big job because he's already doing the job he's supposed to do. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, listen. You're not ready to be up here if you ain't doing nothing down there. Amen. And you're not ready to be there if you're not consistent there. You shouldn't be privileged with many things till you've been faithful in few things. Now look at this servant, his eldest servant. What's the point there? This man had proven himself. He had demonstrated to his master that he's reliable. Right? I mean, isn't that what we talk about with stewardship? Stewardship has to do with being dependable. Amen. God wants us to be dependable. God wants us to be available. Listen, here's this servant. He's his eldest servant. Here's what Abraham said. This job's so big. This task is so important. My time is so short. Failure is such not an option that I got to get it done. But I can't pick it. Listen, I got a lot of servants in the house, but I can't use all of them for this. I got to get that one who has shown me time and time again. He's faithful. He's accountable. He's dependable. And he's available. You know, I find out that we're living in a day and age where there are a lot of Christians that are raising their hand up to volunteer for great things for God. The problem is that they're so busy raising their hand up to volunteer for great things, they're not using their hands to do the small things. Listen to me. God's looking for somebody to accomplish great things in a wicked world for him, but he's not looking for novices. He's looking for people who are serving where they are so that God can promote them and use them somewhere else. And here we find out later this servant by the name of Eliezer, but here God doesn't give him a name because the significance of this man was not his name, but the significance of this man was just his service. And can I tell you, our significance in the church is not our title, is not our name. Our significance is our service. We got too many well-known, popular, big-name Christians today that are looking for somebody to know them. Listen to me. When you're a real servant, you're not trying to get known. You're trying to make your master known. Servant worthiness. Now right down here, spoken wishes. I'll make thee swear by the Lord God of heaven and earth that thou shalt not take a wife of my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Now Abraham's telling this reliable servant his wishes. Isn't that the Christian life? The longer I live for God, the more I hear him whispering in my ear his wishes. If you feel like God's so far and that you never really hear him telling you his wishes, maybe he's not far, maybe you're far. And maybe you have to realize from Genesis 24 that when it comes to really getting the job done and accomplishing his wishes, he whispers them to reliable servants. You know where I want to be? I want to be so faithful to God that when there's a task that needs to be done about which he cannot use just anybody, that he says, there's one. There's one who's shown me he's faithful. Now watch this now. In chapter 22, Abraham was that one who had shown God that he was faithful. And God said, I know you love me. Now Abraham is a master and saying to his servant, you've shown me that you're faithful. I'm going to assign you to get a job done for me that I cannot fail at because it's for God. Spoken wishes. Has God told you anything lately that he wishes? By the way, this was not something that Abraham was necessarily specified directly by God. This is Abraham saying, this is what I want. And by the way, servant, just the fact that I want it should be reason enough for you to do it. Now, one of the things we have to learn in the Christian life that we seem to forget after we start living it for a while is that no matter how old we are in our Christian life, we are servants and we do have a master. Come on. Now, listen, you may sing it, you may teach it, you may preach it, and you may organize it. But at the end of the day, your life belongs to Almighty God. We are servants that have a, let's not get caught up in all these statuses and formality that we forget at the end of the day. We're sinners saved by grace, and we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body, in our spirit, which are God's. Everything you have is God's. Including you. Spoken wishes. Thou shalt not go into my country. Thou shalt go into my country, verse 4, my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Sovereign will. To my country, to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. Listen, servant, take this thing seriously because the job that you're doing for me, I'm doing for God. Listen to me, beloved. I know it's a Wednesday night and it's 8:18, but let's not forget while we're sitting here on a Wednesday night that we're not here to punch a clock. We're here for God. You get up in the morning and you read. Don't read to say you read. Don't pray to say you talked. Don't knock to say you went. Don't pass out a track to say you had one. Remember every breath in him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. This is what Abraham's reminding this servant. When you leave, you got to go there. You got to bring her here. Why? This is not a hobby. This is not eharmony.com. This is the will of God. This is the perfect plan of God. We got a Messiah coming down the line. Failure's not an option. Now write down subsequent worry. Okay? You think this fella's feeling pressure? And here he's going to express it. Tell me if you've ever been here with God. I heard you. And as soon as, how often when God tells us to do something, is our first notion, what if this goes wrong? Now, I think this servant is revealing to us the frailty and the flaws of humanity. Because my mama taught me, when I tell you to do something, I don't want you to tell me what might go wrong. I want you to do it because I told you. Now, watch this now. Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now, listen. We've been watching Abraham and his faith all the way up to Genesis chapter 24. We don't know nothing about this man's faith. So he's responding with worry. And like before I sign on to this task, the first thing comes to my mind is, what if I get there and she won't come? I think that's where some Christians are stuck right here tonight. You've heard the voice of God. You've heard the prompting of God. You've sensed the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. But you've spent the last 5 months giving God potential cons to obeying his will. Well, what if? If I give it, well, how am I going to pay this? If I go there, how am I going to put gas in my car? If I surrender it, how am I going to survive? Well, you're missing the point. You have a master. And you are a servant. And my job is not to figure out what might go wrong. My job is to figure out what I've been told to do. What if? What if? And here's the loving master who responds. I want you to write this down. And Abraham said unto him, verse 6, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Write this down. Stern warning. We're almost finished. Here's Abraham. Look here just a moment. Now I'm going to paraphrase. Here's what Abraham's saying to this servant. I don't care what happens. I don't care what that woman says. And I don't care how hard you want to pull this thing off the way I told you. You hear me and hear me well. Don't you dare go outside of what I told you. Listen to the verse again. Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Here's what he's saying. Either she comes here or it ain't happening. But I'm telling you right now, young man, you better make sure, regardless of what that woman says or how good she looks, that you don't come back here and take my son to her. You better bring her to him. And by the way, that in that verse was particular to Abraham and Isaac, but for us tonight, it's very simple. I don't care how hard you want to pull off a task in the Christian life, you better make sure that pulling it off never requires you to violate God's command. Amen. There's a warning resonating in the body of Christ tonight. Don't ever violate God's word to get something right. I'm telling you, God's introducing us to this, God telling us this in Genesis, because God is telling us, sometimes you got to leave the phraseology and try it another way. God is telling us in Genesis this truth because it is something that is timeless in humanity. We are good at doing the right thing the wrong way. And here, listen, and by the way, I respect the servant for asking. What if she won't come? Can I take him there? You know what's wrong with America? We have done too many adjustments to God's order. Hear me now? You know what's wrong with local churches? Men have messed with God's order. Just because it's a good message doesn't mean it's right if a woman's preaching it. Are you listening to me? Just because someone's sincere doesn't mean they're right if they're saying something wrong. Are you listening to me? Just because all the kids are doing it doesn't mean it's okay if Christian kids are doing it. Just because it's hard to find it doesn't mean you ought to buy something that's easy to... Listen to me now. Just because the smartphone will take me there doesn't mean I'm not dumb for going. There's an order. And here's what he's saying. I want you to do what I tell you to do, but I want you to do it the right way. We're living in a day and age where Christians are trying to pull off good stuff bad ways. And he's warning him, you better not take her. By the way, there's sensitive wording that comes after that. And in so many words, look at the next verse, and I'll close. So many words, Abraham says to her, as a matter of fact, if she won't come back, you're off the hook. If she refuses to comply with your request, watch this now, I'd rather miss out on her than for you to break what I told you to do. Listen to me now. God would rather you not do something that you really, really want to do before you do it and violate his word. Amen. Boy, God wants you to be a blessing. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to live for him, but not at the expense of violating biblical principles. Hey, God wants you to be married, but he don't want you to marry the wrong person. God wants you to have a job, but he don't want you to be missing church. God wants you to tithe, but he don't want you to rob somebody in order to tithe. See that thou bring him not. And I'm so serious about finding a wife from my people that even if you find her and she won't come, listen, in so many words, God can find another one. But don't you usurp my authority and violate my command just so you can pull it off. And by the way, Saul did it, didn't he? We've killed everything. Bah. What's that noise then? Well, I didn't kill him, but I kept him to sacrifice. We were talking about this in family devotions last week. To obey is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Mama and daddy love when you come into the room and bring us some little cute breakfast in bed and blah, blah, blah. That's wonderful. But we don't want that in place of you obeying us. Amen. We appreciate the little burnt waffles. But at the end of the day, we want you to get up when we say get up and go to bed when we say go to bed and do what we say. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We love beautiful songs and beautiful testimonies and beautiful I love you. But God's looking for you to obey him 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Amen. And if you obey him somewhere on the road of obedience, you'll pick up what you need to sacrifice. Well, don't you sacrifice and defy obedience, because God has always been more impressed with obedience than he is with sacrifice. And if you obey long enough, guaranteed, sacrifice will be along the path. Fear is not an option. And tonight we're standing with this servant under pressure. Yeah, we are, all of us. Pastoring's pressure, being a husband's pressure, being a mama is pressure, being a kid is pressure. Being a single is pressure. Being a seasoned saint is pressure. Please don't flatter yourself into thinking you're the only one in the building tonight that's under pressure. Oh, I hear people say all the time, oh, if you could know what's going on in my life. You want to compete? Let me tell you something. You're way too hung up on yourself when you think you're the only one having problems. Being a human in 2018 comes with having problems. Amen? But the good thing about it is we're not alone. Amen? And the last thing we need under pressure in problems is to violate principles, because that doesn't make the problems or the pressure go away. Just gets us in more trouble. And then we violate the principles and thereby forfeit the leadership of God. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you're going to work tomorrow morning, and the first thing you're thinking is, Pastor, right now I'm working a job that's got me so under pressure and I'm just stressed out and I'm just pulling my hair out. And yeah, and you're violating principles and excusing them because of the pressure. You're not excused to do wrong because you're under pressure. You still have to honor God. And you can't cheat to do right because God's too smart not to know you cheated. Somebody say amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Help us. Help us. Help us to remember we got to get it right. We got to get it right. And we can't do wrong to get it right. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.